AY clap.
There you go.
You know the guy who claps like last offbeat? Yeah.
Yeah, slow clap, last clap. All right, welcome back to another episode of the Back of the Show podcast. We've been on a slight hiatus. We've got a special guest with us for the entire episode. It is AY, Amumer, AY spelled out on Twitter. He's joining us for the entire episode. Think of this as like a little bit of a crossover, like Simpsons Family Guy. We'll bleep that out. Simpsons Family Guy, a crossover, or a 10 minutes with the back of the shul, for those that get that. Yeah, anyway, back to what we were saying. So we've got some minion updates. I guess we'll have like some sort of interview, you know, being that we have a celeb with us. We have the Mizrachvant of Shul Jerks, which I am very, very excited to get into later. But first, sponsor. So this one's going to be a little bit different, a little different than the slew of food sponsors that we had. So this is brought to you by our friends at Flow Digital. So if you own a business or are involved in sales at any level, you know, if you're a high roller, you know the key to a successful business is a repeatable, efficient sales process. And yet most of you guys are probably tracking your sales leads and using like Excel, Google Sheets, and even like a pen and paper. And even if you have a CRM, chances are you're not using it to its fullest capability. So regardless of your industry, if you're in sales at any level, if you've got a business, I highly encourage you to talk to the people at Flow Digital. They'll go through every step of your sales process, help you streamline your operations, basically put your sales process on autopilot. Come on, can't argue with that. So you don't have to sit there copying and pasting every detail into whatever ancient system you're using, or if you're using pen and paper. Come on, guys, 21st century. Let's get with it. So I would encourage you, go to flowdigitalinc.com, schedule a free 30-minute consultation. That's flowdigitalinc.com, schedule a free 30-minute consultation. I've actually worked very closely with these guys. I've seen them make businesses literally tens of thousands of dollars by automating their sales pipeline. So one more time for the people in the back or the people that have tried skipping this ad. I think it's been longer than 30 seconds, so you're going to have to get stuck with this again. That's flowdigitalinc.com. Schedule your free 30-minute consultation. And by the way, they listen to this podcast, so spend a few minutes talking about it with them, and it won't count as part of the 30 minutes. Tell them I sent you. Okay. Now, anyway, welcome back. We're recycling guests now, so I guess you had a good experience the first time. So welcome back.
Yeah, I mean, definitely fun. I'm happy to be back.
Well, actually, a lot has happened since you were last on, and what I mean by a lot has happened, like 15 minutes after we posted our episode with you, you posted your podcast. So how's the podcasting right. game?
It's funny because 15 minutes after we did it, I was like, you know what? I'm going to record myself talking and see what happens. I asked Twitter, like, should I do it? And then, like, I didn't really wait to see what Twitter says because I don't really value most of the people on Twitter's opinions. And I just did it. And then I posted it. I don't know. It did pretty well. And I don't know. I've been doing it. It's very easy for me. I just sit in my car on my way home from work and I open Anchor and I just record myself talking. Like, it doesn't take a lot of commitment. I figured if you can do it, you know.
Point taken.
That's pretty fair. If we could do it, anyone can.
No, but I kind of like took the, like, you're doing like the Barstool thing. I'm doing like the, I'm going into uncharted. There's actually a podcast, 10 Minutes with Jesus. So I'm really taking his model. And I'm not really,
way,
you know.
Anyway, that's not a Christian podcast. That's actually just an ex chusid from Williamsburg.
or it's some Mexican guy, Jesus. he's big on Spanish Twitter. Yeah.
It's actually my cleaning lady's husband.
I always wonder what these cleaning ladies' husbands do. Yeah,
they're probably like investment bankers.
Yeah, Wall Street
or podcasters.
The husbands make enough money so the wife can pursue their dream, their passion.
stealing one sock from men. Yeah. They don't steal a pair; it's always one sock.
Yeah. But what's the feedback been?
I haven't had too much negative feedback. It's been positive, very positive. I had one guy. So Awkward Bacher has like his like hardcore fans. So I got hate from one of his fans. He wrote, he like DM'd me on Twitter, like, "You're not funny. You should know your line. You should know the line of like funny and not funny." Oh no, he started with "not to be hate, not to be hateful."
Oh, so then it's all
then
right.
You
then
wrote
all right.
Whatever. So I wrote, "I'm sorry, like, you don't find me funny," whatever. And then I wrote, "but LOL, not to be hateful. That was actually very hateful." And he didn't respond. So I don't know. But like, what can I do?
Maybe it was probably awkward buffers burn.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm impressed you took the time to actually respond to that. We usually just.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It was fun. I get enjoyment from these kinds of people in a weird way. It's just like, it just shows you that, like, you know, there are people like this out there. There are people who do this. They're actually human beings. There's a guy who took his time to tell a humor account on Twitter. I don't know. I got a kick out of it.
Yeah, he was probably like some guy, probably like married, got like a couple of little kids. Like, it was probably around bedtime, and like his kids are screaming in the other room. His wife's like yelling at him, like, go take care of Javi. He's like, hang on, I got to do something. I got to do something. I got to tell this guy that he's not fun.
Hold on. Gosh.
Was Awkward Buffer in the car with you?
No. We did that. It was funny. I told him, like, oh, whatever. We'll do like 20 minutes. And then, like, we just ended up schmoozing for like 2 hours. But no, it was through the Anchor app. I do everything through Anchor. yeah, I don't know. It was we had to break a few times, but. Yeah, we ended up kept going until like we just got tired pretty much.
At least once a week, sometimes multiple times a week, people have reached out to me privately saying that we have to have Awkward Buffer on. I don't know. I think it'd be a fit for us. Like, I personally don't. I don't know if I see it.
So yeah, he is a presence. Like, he's a commanding presence, as you know from me having him on. But I'm not like, I'm the type of person that if I know something's going well, I'm not going to try to push my own, like, oh, I'm funny too, listen to me. And I was like, wow, he's funny. And I just let him talk. Like, I didn't care. But yeah, you have to be ready to just give him the floor. I think he's hilarious. I think he's great to have on. There's not too many people like him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really funny person. But yeah, he has a commanding presence.
Speaking of which, this actually plays in perfectly. I wanted to run this by you, you know, as a veteran of from Twitter. I was considering starting a career as a mumble rapper in the from music scene, and I was gonna go by the name Akdumus. I just wondered what your thoughts were on that.
Do you like rap in Aramaic? Like, what's the?
I just figured.
He had the bisfin.
I figured the first song writes itself. You know, just saw, saw, and then the bridge part would be chazu chazu.
It's funny that you say Akdumus, because I was reading Green Eggs and Ham to my son, and I felt like it had a very Akdumus-y vibe to it. Like, no, I do not want to on a boat. I do not want, I don't know. It just had a very, I felt like I was reading some sleepless Akdumus. I don't know.
The Akdumus vibe was because you were reading it at bedtime, so it was putting you to sleep.
Maybe. But I felt like it was a very Jewish sleepless vibe. I felt like I like the chazen repeating, and like, that's the Dr. Seuss style where he does like the repeating and then he goes back and then it rhymes. It's very Jewishy. Like, he might be the author behind some of the slichas. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, the acronym in the beginning, like, you're like, oh, it spells D-R-S, you know? Like,
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into Minion updates. I'll start. This has been building up for a while. I was going to do a whole mask-related thing, but then I just figured, you know, let me stick to sports instead. Not get involved in any politics. But on a related note, it's really getting annoying the amount of people who say, man, 2020, crazy, huh? About like every little stupid nuisance that happens in their life. Like, I don't know, they drop, like the ice tray falls out of the freezer. God, 2020. Or like you drop a plate. Like, oh, 2020. Like, it's enough, okay? 2020, yes, it's been a different year. It is, I'm sorry, from a historical perspective, it has not been the craziest year of all time. maybe it's been the craziest year in a long time, but like, let's get a grip that not every stupid little thing that happens to you is because it's 2020.
And it also doesn't help that people have been doing this every year for like the past like 5 or 6 years. So
yeah, right. You know, everyone was saying how 2019 was terrible. Like, you think in 1943, they were like, God, my plate broke. 1944, man. 1944. Gosh. World War II and my plate?
Yeah, I don't know. It's getting too much for me. It's getting too much. Anyway, you got any Minion updates? Not to put you on the spot.
Oh, you're putting me up. Okay, a few things. First of all, I don't know if there's a Minion update or Shmonesser's thought or both, but I was in the park this Shabbos. I guess it's not really a Minion update. And I noticed, like, I was in the mountains, and I noticed that there were more Goyim taking care of kids than Jewish parents. And I was like, like, what's going on with our youth? Like, why are parents feeling the need to pass their children? Like they're like four Hispanic and African American. Like, what is going on? Like, I was the only Jewish parent there, but the kids were Jewish. I was like, what kind of chinuch? Are these kids like, I don't know. It's just like, it's like, take your kid to the park. Gosh, you know, like, come on, people. I know you can afford the babysitter, but like, they don't need to be on Shabbos in the park with their kid. You both of you don't need the nap. Okay. I do it. I'm fine. Take your kid to the park. I don't need to see Tanisha taking little Maishi with his crazzle de gapayas on the slide. It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah. AY, do you need help off the soapbox?
Oh, by the way, I'm a violent parent in the park. Don't mess with my kid.
Wait. Can we hear an example?
Yes, actually, you can. My son was on a slide, and he was still on the slide. You know, like when the kids like take their delay getting off the slide, they don't just like get off the slide and walk off. They like fall, they slide down, and they're like, and then they get up. So my son was doing that, like that, and his hand was like behind, and a kid goes, climbs behind him, and just like stands on his hand. And my son's like, ah! And I grabbed the kid by his arm, one-handed, and like flung him off. Thank goodness the parent didn't see. I'm like, get off my kid! I grabbed his arm.
Yeah, the parent didn't see because the parent was at home. I'm sure right. The Jamaican.
Right. The Jamaican one was on her phone, TikToking.
So my Minion update is a little bit of a weird one. As we've established, I've been I'm the foodie of the group, and I'm drying a salami, and I realized something very interesting. As Jews, we really, really don't have any clue of what the outside world considers normal. Because I was like, okay, I mean, you look at every picture of a black and white picture of a house on the Lower East Side. They all were hanging salamis. Every deli, everybody knew how to do it. And I went online to look for, you know, tips and tricks of how to dry a salami. And the first thing that shows up is Google saying, do you mean how to hang drywall? And a whole bunch of articles on how to hang drywall. Not a single result talking about how to dry a salami. And so I tried, all right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put in kosher, how to dry a kosher salami, right? And guess what showed up? The same exact thing, how to hang drywall. It's like, all right, you know, this is getting a little crazy.
Kosher drywall.
Yeah, so in the end, I hung it in my front closet, and we're probably going to have spoiled salami. That's the bottom line. That's my Minion update.
It's like finding out that it's actually called snatch the bacon, not steal the salami.
Right.
By the way, this whole like meat platter and meat board thing started with some Jewish guy drying salami on top of his oven.
Oh, 100%.
It all started with the dried salami. One guy's like, oh, look, I dried salami. Another guy's like, I'm going to dry out this cow. And then like, we're stuck with meat board. Like it's stupid. It actually started with sushi. And that, but if you listen to, but yeah, I think it started dry salami.
Go ahead, plug it.
Dry salami, I think, is where the whole meat board crisis began.
Like, it's fine. Anyway, you could turn this into your podcast also. You want to bring your wife in too?
The door's closed. We can get her in. I mean, you know.
No, I actually need some Instagram advice. So. because I'm trying to like figure out our Instagram accounts. I have no idea how it works.
Oh, she's I'm terrible at Instagram. I by mistake liked my own thing. Like it's a disaster for me. I don't know how to. I didn't know how to post the story. But she Wait. Does.
Ewa, did you know that you've been featured on like a bunch of these professional photographers' Instagram pages?
Yeah, I know a guy. We took pictures, and so a friend of mine sends me a picture. And it's like, that's me.
My wife follows a bunch of these people, and she's like, is this your friend Ewa? I'm like, oh yeah, it is. And you know what happened? Like 3 weeks later, a different photographer or something like that was reposting something. I don't know, whatever it was, and there you were again. I think she was reposting. Yeah.
What am I doing on Twitter? I should be a model.
So, when you launch your career as a frumfluencer, just remember where you started, you know?
Frumfluencer, like bizfluence.
God, okay.
I mean, some of these Instagram accounts, like I've been like venturing into some things. I don't understand a lot of things, but like the chefs working with one hand is something that like I don't think I will ever not be impressed at. It's just the amount of skill you have to do that is just astonishing.
I didn't even get that far on Instagram. I don't even know what that is.
They have to video themselves with one hand, and then they can only work with the other hand.
Like, oh, you mean like they're like
videoing themselves and cooking with one hand the entire time? It's incredibly impressive. It's I think one of the most impressive things that I've seen.
But I always wonder what's worse, the Instagram or LinkedIn, like the videos that you find on either one. Like
I still say LinkedIn. I don't know.
I saw a video. The guy's phone was so close to his face, and he's walking and shaking, and he's like, it just like his whole face. You could count the hairs on his beard. Like, what are you? Why do you think this is content? What are you doing?
Oh, by the way, that reminds me with the walking thing. When you posted your thing on Twitter about Strava, I was like, oh my god, it's like. When people say you're reading my mind, okay, there's one guy that I'm thinking of. Like, if you listen to this podcast, one guy that I'm thinking of, I'm really sorry, but like nobody wants to see you posting your Strava stuff on WhatsApp. Like, it's just not necessary. Also, special shout out to my brother-in-law who uses Strava and does not post on WhatsApp. I think he might be the only one, but it's like, there's no way to tell people that nobody cares, but like,
I told people no one cares. I hope it got around. I really do.
When did this all start? I really want to know, when did this all start where everyone felt the need in the firm world to, I don't know, it used to be so private. Now just everything has to be broadcasted. I don't mean to like sound like a cow on my lawn, but I did it once. I was in Israel. And like, I don't know, you haven't seen the Kotel in a while. So like you go take a picture and then post it on your status. And like 2 seconds later, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, why did I just post that? And I immediately took it down. Like, who honestly cares that I'm in Israel, right?
Half of it is flexing. Half of it is people having to show that like they're something, you know, or like, oh, look, I mean, it's all, no one's doing it for other people. Because if you looked at all the people who see your status, you're like, oh, I don't want that guy to see my stat. Like half the people, like you're doing it for yourself. And it's just like to feel good about yourself. It's just the whole, it's a weird thing. Flexing account.
For me, the only time I ever really use a status is if I have multiple people that I want to text that are not on one chat and I'm too lazy to text them individually. So I'll just put it on the status and hope that they see it.
I hear that. No, if you have like a Mazel Tov situation, then like, I had a girl.
Of course. Yeah.
There's like if you get engaged or if you had a kid. That's like,
if you're collecting for some tzedakah and you want to misspell charity, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing with like
the best is the guys who are like, I usually don't do this, but.
Right. You're doing it, okay? You are doing it.
Just steer into the skid and just post it without the whole preamble. Yeah, like everybody's got like waterboard everybody with like a whole introduction. Like, it's very near and dear to my heart. I normally would never do this. I would never do this.
This one is very dear to me.
By the way,
it's a duck collecting.
What's by the way, WhatsApp has now, it's gotten out of hand because now people are turning WhatsApp. It used to be WhatsApp was, you know, the alternative to Instagram, or really Facebook, and then Instagram, and then it became WhatsApp as the alternative to LinkedIn. And now WhatsApp is becoming, for many people, the alternative to Twitter. And it's getting really bad.
Everyone feels that it's just the place to share anything.
We need to launch our.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Shlomo's still working on our back of the show WhatsApp group. I don't know what he's planning on doing.
When do you become status guys, like post statuses, screenshots, and like
exactly
tweets from like 4 years ago.
We're gonna make like $7,000 a week or something. Shlomo's gonna figure it out.
Yeah. I don't know. The problem is that, you know, in the non-Jewish world, the typical evolution is like a blog or something, right? But from people don't read blogs unless they're going to like Failed Messiah, you know, or I don't know, some other.
Or the Yeshiva World Coffee Room.
Yeah, those are like the two rules.
The Yeshiva World has become the complete like garbage posting website. Like half the stuff there is like, what? Oh. Like their headlines and like their clickbait. It's like
very important. I love when they editorialize, and they had one of the great ones that I've ever heard. I'm actually going to find it so I can read it to you verbatim. Hold on 1 second. Great radio.
Yeah, that's why we're sideways, I guess.
It's breaking graphic footage. Neutralized Palestinian animal laying on the floor in the old city following a terror attack.
What?
News.
News. Yeah.
I think I told you this AOA last week, like, because you and Awkward Buffer were talking about, you know, something similar. But I love when they preface on Yeshiva World, like they preface everything that happens in New York City, like even if it's just like a random, I don't know, traffic jam with de Blasio's NYC. Like, big
right.
De Blasio's NYC, man crosses street, animals.
No, I think I once spoke about this on my podcast, how they use Rafchaim Kanievsky, like without any embarrassment. Yeah, it's just like Rafchaim Kanievsky is in pain. And like it shows a picture of him, and then it's a story of some guy in the Bronx who lost a child. Like
Shlomo sent that video to our chat. It was unbelievable.
Let me give credit where it's due. That's it was Sorely Bugapolsky. Actually, I'll give his podcast a plug. 990 Talk. He sent it to me. He's like, this is the greatest video you'll ever see, and
he also showed me that. Yeah, he showed me that one also. It's funny. But the Yeshiva World has totally gone complete. They're just like reaching, you know, like they're trying to keep up. There's like Blaz now, and like Yeshiva World is like, we're still here, and they're like, look, clickbait. It's just
honestly that the type of stuff where you would like scratch your head back in the old days. That was like the Bus is Nice comment section, right? Now the Bus is Nice comment section is like the New Yorker compared to, you know, a basic Yeshiva World article. It's just bizarre at this point. It's legit bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, I don't read too much of this stuff. I get my news on Twitter. Like, you just, everything happens on Twitter, like as it breaks. So like, I don't feel the need to look at Yeshiva World. And I have the Kol Olam statuses, which is a bunch of car accidents. But look, I mean, if that's what people like, I mean, it's like, yeah, no, but that's news in the Jewish world. Like a car accident, like this is like, oh my God, you know?
Yeah, it's like, it's so bad. Like I'm like embarrassed as a Jew whenever I see the Kol Olam status. It's just like, why am I entertaining?
You know what they do? You know what they do? Misaskim was not needed.
Yeah.
That was a couple of days ago, though. Yeah,
It's every day. It's every day. It's like, okay, this is going to be awful. Oh, I shouldn't say this. Okay. But like when you have
Someone
like
the say shootings, it. Say it.
Yeah. Okay. Like when you have the shootings in the, like in New York City, the shootings have skyrocketed, right? And every time I read a headline, not on the Kol Olam or Yeshiva World, I think of the same thing. Like the New York Post headline is like, it's blazing, like 15 people shot within 24 hours. Saskim not needed.
Menachem, right. Stop. No Hitler jokes. No Hitler jokes.
Oh, by the way, I still didn't do my minion update.
Oh, yeah, go.
Wait, yeah, I need to get
hold on. I need to get from Hitler jokes.
No, I mean, it's the basic, I mean, maybe you'll see why it reminded me of it, maybe you won't, but the other day I was walking on the boardwalk and I saw, you know, like one of these, I don't know how to describe it, like yeshiva day camp with like the Rebbe who's geschmack, who has all whatever, like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Of course.
But maybe not, but it's whatever. It's they were just on the boardwalk amongst like other people, not Jews. Sometimes these people tend to forget that, but either way, they were just on the boardwalk, just like doing things that you do in a camp. And I don't think they probably didn't even think about this, but they just started like talking, like singing and whatever. So just a public service announcement to anyone who's just in, like whenever you're in public, be careful when saying the word niggun. Like, be very sure to emphasize the N at the end. So when you're screaming about we want a niggun, like, just be really, really sure to emphasize the N at the end.
That's just had
the power of a niggun. The strength.
Yeah, I had that happen. I had that happen where someone said, you know, oh, do you want to, you know, maybe we should start a niggun, and, you know, a person, an African American, walked by, and I made him emphasize it again that he wasn't saying the N word. Yeah, that could be really awkward.
But there are a lot of things that, like the Jewish camps and the Jewish groups do in public that could be just so embarrassing. Like, you just think back to yourself, like when you were in camp, like, what did those people think of us? Like, we were embarrassing.
I think the absolute peak of that was when Mordechai Shapiro came out with Schar Mitzvah and everybody thought they were the first ones to try to do a flash mob to it. That was, I think, the peak. The absolute peak.
It's just like Jew guys singing.
<don't know>. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but by the way, yeah, that's like the cliche Jewish music video is to have like Guyan dancing. You know? Yeah. Do you see that video with on the boat with the camp with the guy on the mic?
I'm wait. You could have just asked, "Are we Jewish?" Like,
right.
The answer would have been the same.
Yeah. So that's the kind of thing. Like all these guys on a boat. but yeah, that video is. I actually know a guy who is on the boat, and like he said, they were being nice the whole time, and they were like being fine, and this captain just like kind of had it out for them. But I loved how the guy taking the video with the mic, like first he's like smiling and he has a smile on and like he's like, oh, the captain's about to tell us how good we are. And you're like, I have never seen a bunk lodge, a camp like this in my 20 years. And they're all like, yes! And the guy's like, shut the fuck up. And the guy with the mic, it was like smiling. You watch his smile slowly fade, like, oh.
Yeah,
because you know what? He was thinking, like, I'm about to be a yeshiva world status. Kiddush Hashem on the boat.
Right, because like for 50 years of camping, you had the guy in the bowling alley going, Camp Machne Hachayim is the best camp to ever come. And they were ready for that. That was that. They thought this was the moment. This was the moment.
They've been coddled their whole life. Yeah, I was just literally just thinking like Liberty Lanes or Kaya Misha Lanes, right? Yeah. Every single summer, like, oh, you guys are the best bunk. I don't know. I was just here yesterday and you said the same thing. Like, you've been coddled at your entire life telling you that you paid some kiddush.
Every camp video, every single one has Bob from Kaya Misha and some white guy from what's it called? Zoom Flume?
Like
high on, well, who knows? He's like, camp, is the best mountain. And it was like, like a schmuck counselor. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have a thing anyway, right? What is it like Jews love when Goyim, what is it?
Yeah, I've tweeted this. Yeah, we Jews love when Goyim, we Jews love us some Guyan talking about Jews or like doing something with Jews, like from Jews featured on Guyish things. Like, we love this stuff.
If you can get
we love our Guyan.
A Jewish a non-Jewish janitor to sing a Jewish song.
Oh,
that's
we love
instant,
that.
Instant yeshiva world.
Yeah. Oh, by the way,
if
they speak in Hebrew or Yiddish, forget about it.
Oh, viral, viral. Look, our janitor knows Hine Matov. Oh, like about Amari Stoudemire becoming Jewish. Like, everyone's like, oh my God, we got Amari. Like,
but why does it all, yeah, exactly. Why does it always have to be like a washed up guy? Like, why can't we have one time, just one time, like Tom Brady decide that he's Jewish or something like that? Why does it always have to be the washed up guy?
Like, he's better as a Jew than he was as a Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't know, just one time, like, let us have our moment. Let us have our moment where it's like, I don't know, some huge A-lister.
Do you think
that in like 1965, it's gone downhill since then?
Do you think that
Maurice Dohart?
Yeah.
No,
you
I was talking about Sandy Koufax. With the peak. I was talking about Sandy Koufax, but that works.
Yeah.
All right. Oh. No, Rebaim will go back to Sandy. Rebaim will drop a Sandy Koufax on you, like, on a dime. You know, I remember. I remember that Sandy Koufax won Yom Kippur. It was a big game. It was a big game, but he didn't play. Like,
do you think when Amari inevitably becomes a Masifta Rebbe, that they're gonna be like, Rabbi Stoudemire, he really could have gone pro, but
I tweeted this. This was my tweet.
Well, that's awesome.
No, it would be like the kids would be like, yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just I don't know that whole Amari thing. Like, really, I mean, I'm happy that he's doing.
No,
something.
I'm of course, I'm happy. I'm happy he's doing this. But I love how we love us some Amari becoming a Jew. Like,
right? Do you remember?
Also, like the same thing. The YU Max, like making the what's it called? Like pipe down. You guys are getting out after like the Sweet 16, or even if you make it that far. None of you guys are making it to MBA. You're all becoming accountants and lawyers. Chill. Just.
Yeah, but especially when you have like Kiddush Hashem, the YU Max beat. I think gone a little too far with the Kiddush Hashem part. It's like, I don't know. Is somebody going to be like 30 years from now? You're going to have like some Aish speaker be like, you know what? In the moment for me when I decided to give up my previous life is when I heard the YU Max beat like. Bumfart University, you know, by
Farley Dickinson.
Yeah.
By the way, Farley Dickinson has more Jews in the actual school.
Yeah. I was gonna say FDU making the Sweet 16 might be a bigger Kiddush Hashem than YU.
Yeah, we were pumped. Oh well, the Jews were pumped about FDU. Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael K saying Zaftig. I mean, you love us a guy saying something Jewish. Give us a guy saying something Jewish.
Yeah, all you need is gonna be like Howie Rose saying like Kuching, and the Frum world will lose it. They will lose their mind.
Yeah. Well, you remember? Well, what was the word in the spelling bee? It was Chalent or something.
Was it something like that?
Yeah. Knadel or something like that.
Hold on, my daughter's crying.
Oh, that's another example of like if you can get like one of the waiters at a hall, right? One of the non-Jewish waiters,
security guard. The security guard. It's got to be the security guard.
No, the nanny of the guy who's getting married.
The security guard, though, is exclusive for the Bachrim to hack him up outside about, like, oh, you ever shot anyone with your gun? That's...
How many people did you beat up?
Yeah. Did you, you were in the army? Were you a SEAL? Like,
were you a trained SEAL?
Did you go to Iraq? Did you go to Iraq and kill Guyan?
Did you go to Saudi Arab?
they love a security guard. Masifta Bachrim and security guards. I mean,
how many push-ups can you do?
You want to have a push-up contest? I thought I could beat you.
You want to fight?
Can I feel your muscle?
You think Shalom Bear could beat him in an arm wrestle?
I had a Rebbe that can bend a quarter with his teeth.
No context given. The kid just walked over to the garden.
Yeah, he just like drops the mic and walks away. And I was like,
remember iPod Nanos? This just crossed my mind. I don't know. I guess maybe like the security guard high school thing. Remember when Nano was like, there was a thing with Nano. It was like Nano was supposed to be the next big thing. Yeah, but like nanotechnology, what happened with that? Is that still
I remember thing? Watching the movie on like the Nano that was the size of my thumb. Yeah.
Yes, like, yes. The new Nano that you could play that brick breaker game that went in a circle.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
The Nano 5 was the best iPod to ever come out. I dare anyone to disagree with
I
me.
Don't know what the Nano
which,
5
Yeah, which
was.
One was the Nano 5? Yeah, like, we remember the numbers.
Look it up. It was the greatest iPod.
Was that the square one?
No, like that was the second rectangle one that had the rounded edge where the screen went all the way to the edge. But it also had – you could play movies on it, but you could also listen to the radio. You know, so it was
– Oh, yeah. Buffer was listening to 95.5.
102.7.
102.3.
100.3 was for like the guys who were a little farther out, you know?
Right.
103.5.
Yes.
103.5. It was.
Or if you're in the mood for country, 97.4.
All right. Top 5 Yeshiva Bacher radio stations.
Yeah. By the way,
I think that's what we just did.
And for the super worldly Bacher whose father let him listen to some music when he was younger, 104.3.
Oh yeah. No, he also had like I like classical music. Oh yeah, do you? Weird.
Also, by the way, I was wondering this. Why are there like 10 times as many women rabbis on Twitter as men? Like, is that like are men rabbis just question. Not on Twitter?
Yeah.
They're all is it just is it a requirement? Is it a requirement if you're a woman rabbi that you have to be on Twitter?
There's a few male rabbis. There's one guy who replies to like everything. And there are a bunch of guys who reply to everything. But there's one guy, Rabbi Arnie, who is like, you look him up. There's a guy who, Rabbi Arnie, big reply guy. He like replies to Trump like, no, you know, like, you know, those people.
Trump reply guys are my favorite people.
They're it's unbelievable. Like,
the level of ego you have to think that he is sitting there scrolling like, oh man, he said no.
You're a jerk, Donald.
Yeah.
And then you have like people who give like this whole like response to him. Like, no, nobody can. What are you doing? Yeah. Which brings me to like fractivists on Twitter, like the from political guys, like with their glorious hot takes. Like, next bench affair, like, what are you doing? Like Kamala Harris is gonna hate Israel. Like,
yeah. And most, by the way, my favorite is like the middle-aged fractivist, like not the millennial fractivist, the middle-aged fractivist who always has to like bring in the Holocaust as like some sort of parallel. Right. My grandfather was in Buchenwald and these playgrounds being locked.
Right. They always have that Holocaust in the back pocket to fight anti-Semitism.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Let's go back. Oh, so Shmoneh Esrei thoughts. Let's make a hard left turn.
Go to the Mizrach Hunt? Okay, yeah.
No, Menachem, you go.
Okay. You know, this was just, I was thinking how they should have, you know how, like, when George Steinbrenner died, everyone wore the patches for him, and, like, when Yogi Berra died, everyone wore the 8 on the side of their jersey? So I feel like if a Rosh Yeshiva dies, like, for the rest of the year, all the Bachurim should have to wear patches on their davening jackets.
Oh.
I feel like that would just be, like, a great sign of respect, no?
Yeah, was it like, let's say like 4 die that year, and like everyone's like flexing, like which Rosh Yeshiva they're representing, you know, like yeah, which Gadol, like.
And but then you could also.
Guy.
By the way, Menachem, your Mizrachon actually dovetails into I had I'm not Mizrachon. Your Shmoneh Esrei thought dovetails perfectly into one that I had. It wasn't the one I was going to say, but it just reminded me of one that I was thinking of actually on Friday. Okay, so. I guess it was a little different back in the day because there were more like arranged marriages back in the day. But in today's, like, today's day and age, like the future Rashi Yeshiva, are we going to have, like, let's say Rav so-and-so, and some woman's going to be like, oh yeah, I dated that guy. Yeah, we went out like on 6 dates. Like you don't really hear that about, let's say, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky or any Rosh Shiva. It's like, oh yeah, I went out with him. Like, all right, it was pretty good. Yeah, whatever. It, you know, it was good. Like, we went to Dave and Buster's. But like, are we gonna have that later on, right? Like, oh, the Rosh Shiva of insert yeshiva. Like, yeah, whatever. We played pool a couple times. It was good. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you always hear these guys who knew the Rosh Shiva like back when he was young and like he was good at basketball. You know, like.
What's the dating context? Like, are there going to be women that are going to be like, yeah, I went out with them. Yeah, sure.
My grandmother dated Rav Nassim P. Finkel. Did she actually? I'm not making this up. My grandmother dated Rav Nassim P. Finkel.
When you were saying that before, I was going to say, like, oh, yeah, like everyone said, like, Rav Nassim C. Finkel, like, you see his thing, Nady Finkel in his Ida Crown, whatever. But.
Yeah, no, I asked her about it. Like, yeah, she dated him. She was in Israel, and he was in Israel. He was like a normal guy. He was like an American guy, and like they went out on a couple dates.
No way. So, I guess that answers your question.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Okay. How about that?
Yeah.
Ewa, you just got bumped off the title. It's now we interview a guy whose grandmother dated her.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the Mizrafon. AY is getting very, very antsy.
Sorry to pressure you guys. You can continue it after if you want to throw in your thought, but like I gotta help out, you know.
Well,
no rush,
flex.
No pressure. That's for sure. Okay. I wouldn't push my own, you know.
It's because his wife is pressuring him, it's not his fault.
At your own pace, please.
Okay, so today's Mizrafon.
I was once diving for Amud here in Psaic, and I was like ripping, and like a guy comes up to me and goes, lower, and I'm like, I made it as if I had no clue what he was saying, and I just continued going, and the guy was like standing there like angrily, and I just like ripped his eyes.
That actually is a perfect segue because today's Mizrafon, today's Mizrafon is the Mizrafon of Shul Jerks. Actually, hat tip to loyal listener, great guy, even better person, Avi Wasatsky,
Avi.
Yeah. So he gave us this idea a while ago, so we're gonna do it.
I need to pull up my notepad. Oh, whoops. Okay, yeah, go for it.
I was just going to say, AY, as our guest, sort of, you go first. And then I don't know the order after that.
Then Yosef, then me, then Shlomo.
Okay, I have a lot here. I guess I'll start with number one on my list, which is a pretty recent thing that happened, and it's always been a huge pet peeve of mine. Sunday morning or any morning, don't bring your kid to shul. The guy who brings his 2-year-old kid to shul in the morning, like, first of all, let me just get this clear. Nobody finds your kid cute besides you. You're the only one. So when he's screaming and crying and fetching or like giggling in the middle of davening, it's not cute. Keep your kid away from shul. That's my number one shul jerk. Like, you wake up your wife, okay? Tell her to watch your kid and you go to shul. There's no reason your kid has to be in shul disturbing everyone else.
Right. Yeah, that's a good one.
I definitely agree with you, but I always figure like I don't have any kids, so I can't really say it. But I guess you do, so you're allowed to say it.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I don't. I have a 3-year-old kid. I've never brought him to shul once. I'm just not. I'm not gonna do it. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna put anyone through that. Nobody wants to hear him. Yeah, Tati. Nobody wants it. And then like the father, like you see him scurrying to the candy man, like shuffling, like scurrying back. It's like a middle school answer. And the kid's like, yeah. He's like, he's like laughing at his kid. Like, he's cute.
I was once at a minion where the guy, the chazan, brought his infant son to shul. Like the guy was a chiyuv. He brought his infant son to shul. And like in the middle of Chazar Sashas, he's like rocking a crying kid. It was
bizarre. No, that's my number one.
So, So that's for, my, right, for my number one, I'm going to go with the people who are anti bringing kids to. No, I'm kidding. for my number one, I'm going to go with the guy who clears his throat / blows his notes so loudly that you can hear him at all ends of the shul. Because not only is it disgusting and nobody wants to hear it, but they also have a tendency to pick the absolute worst times to do it. It's like,
but it's not just blowing. It's like all kinds of nasal noises. Like, right. It's the same guy.
It's also, I mean, like, they're doing nothing to dispel the stereotype of Jews.
Right.
That's a good one. All right, Menachem, go.
Okay, so I'm going to go with this one. This might not be on the top of a lot of your lists, but this is, for me, the most annoying thing that bothers me the most during davening. It's when you have people who are davening Shmona Esrei loud enough so that you could hear it, even though it's like they think they're being frum, but like it's 100% like written in a halacha very right. clearly that like you are not allowed to do this. Like in no uncertain terms, there is no room for leeway whatsoever. Like during Shmona Esrei, you cannot say it loud enough that anyone could hear you.
Which, but by these the way, guys. Right. By the way, Menachem, this leads so perfectly into one of the greatest stories in the history of shuls, meaning shuls going back. So everybody knows the Avas and Pesach, and every Pesach stereotype ever stems from the Avas.
Yeah. A lot of tweets.
Oh yeah, so much. Yeah. And then, so basically, what happened was this was like a 9:30 minyan on Ben Azmanin, right? This guy comes into the 9:30 minyan at 9:58 or something like that. If you know the Avas, that means they're up to Shmoneh Esrei, right? And this guy finally catches up. They're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, and he's up to Shema, right? And he lets loose. He covers his eyes. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Right? Everybody's shushing him, you know. Shh, 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 shh. Everybody figured, okay, that's the end of it. The Ahav Toei, Shh, shh, shh. A guy turns around and goes, "Shut the bleep up!"
That's fantastic. But I mean, that was actually another one that I had written down, which I guess is like it was similar to this one. It's that someone who davens really loud, like a part of davening that.
When they're behind. When they're behind.
Yeah. Right,
like, he's behind, like, and he's like,
we're all doing Shema, and this guy's like, Yishtabach. It's like, no. Like, we're not doing that right now.
By the way, that's the worst if there's like a 17-year-old kid davening for the Amid, because then he gets intimidated, right? Yeah. And he thinks he's going fast, and then he slows down like, oh my God, that guy that does it is the biggest jerk. Okay, so I got the next two. All right, the first one, I'm not going to get cute here, right? The guy who shushes. Like, let's not overthink this.
Right. I mean,
I thought I had that one on the background.
Let's not overthink this. Okay. The second one. This is because I am a little bit more musical. This one is really a pet peeve of mine. Is the tone deaf guy with no self awareness whatsoever. The tone deaf guy that's gonna bust out those vocals during the Hadidah, and it just has no self awareness.
But I don't think he's a jerk. I find them entertaining. Like, I don't think he's a jerk. I'm like, oh, good. We got a tone deaf guy.
I mean, you could be both. Like, you could be a jerk and also entertaining. Like, they're not mutually exclusive.
No, but I kind of get a little excitement. Like, oh, this is fun. This is actually fun.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So, yeah, it's my turn again. So, I'm going to go with the guy who corrects the Balkori for something that doesn't actually make a difference. It's like, what are you doing? Just like, so what, he like said the wrong shrup or pronounced the word a little bit different. Like, it doesn't matter. It's still, you're still Yotzei.
People that correct with the S and the ace. Oh, I want to punch him in the face. It makes no difference.
Oh, there's so many.
By the way, can we just talk about that Dr. Seuss rhyme that Shlomo had? The guys who correct the S and the A's, oh, I just want to punch them in the face. I mean, come on.
Oh, that's very good. Both very good. That's.
Yeah, it's a green eggs and ham. Yeah, any other. Okay, Joe, I think it's your turn.
So I think it's mine now. I'm going to go with the slow song following a slow song guy. Now, this could be by Lechadayin, where you go slow song and then another slow song, or by Kedusha, slow song and then another slow song. It's really, if I'm really, just going with what this one is, it's if you feel the need after a slow song to add in another slow song, you're a jerk.
So, AY,
you got the next two. Is he there?
AY, are you there?
I'm here. I'm sorry.
Keep that in.
Keep that in. I'm definitely keeping that in.
What happened? I missed it.
It's your turn. You got two in a row.
All right, here we go. I do two now?
Yes.
Okay. So, it trails off from the shush guy, but it's a little more than that. It's the self-appointed shul police guy. The steerer, the guy who's going to steer you down, or the guy who's gonna say something to you if, like, you didn't comply with his lofty standards of frumkeit. Like if you're on your phone and there's, like, you just, like, at this corner of your eye, you see, like, the guy who's just, like, zeroing in on you. Like, just keep to yourself, buddy, you know?
AY, in most shuls, they have a term for that person. That's the rub.
No, I'm talking about the self-appointed guy. I don't know. If Rob gives me a look, then fine.
Yeah, he's talking about the guy who decided himself that he's going to be the one to do it.
So, for example, I have a few stories in Avas. I had my Esther Gamulov, Chalamayid, and I'm a lefty, so I reverse it according to, like, the halacha that was. My brother is also a lefty, and he's a very learned person, so he told me this is how I do it. And that's how I did it. So I'm sitting next to, I think he's, like, supposed to be, like, a high roller in Psaic, or, like, one of the, a hush of a guy, but, like, I don't care from that in Psaic, so, like, it doesn't bother me. I'm standing there, I'm, like, doing my thing, and I'm holding it, and I notice out of the corner of my eye that he has been looking at me. And I'm like, I'm, like, looking. And then finally, like, whatever was, like, bursting inside him to say something, like, it was like, I'm going to say something. And he turns to me and he goes, "You're holding the Esther Gamulov wrong." I'm like, "Oh, I'm a lefty." He's like, "Even as a lefty, the halacha is that you're supposed to whatever." I'm like, "Oh, you learned the halachas?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, I did also. And the halachas I learned told me to switch it." He's like, "No, you're doing it wrong." I'm like, "No, I'm going to continue doing it like this." And the guy, like, just, like, shook his head and, like, walked away.
By the way, what? I happen to also be a lefty, and I hold it, with, like, the lulav in my left hand. And I've been dying, like, my entire life, I've been dying for someone to tell me that I'm doing it wrong, just so I could tell them that, no, actually, it's the right way. You should know, by the way, Rabbi Sachs, the Rav of the Agudim Psaic, is also a lefty. He does it the way we do it. Just as an aside.
Oh, yeah? So this guy is full of, he just felt stupid. So he's like, I know the halacha. I know the halacha. You think I know the halacha? I know.
Anyway, you got another pick.
Oh, I got another pick. One second, I'm going to go back to the notes here. Anyone who, if there's, like, other seats open in shul, and, like, you're like alone at a table, and the guy just, like, parks himself on your table, like,
the urinal
what are you
rule.
Doing?
The urinal rule.
Yeah. It's the same as the urinal rule, but it applies very much to shul. And I don't want you, like, there are other seats. You don't gotta be here. You fill in and then you box it. I, like, go away.
I go next. So I'm going to go with the self-righteous learning guy in middle of the minyan. So you're in the middle of davening, and there's the guy who's learning, and you're davening, even if you're davening a little bit loud, and he, like, looks up and he gives you a look like, "You're disturbing my learning."
Sorry, Menachem, go.
No, just because I was actually thinking, I wanted to do a Check Your Litvish for this, but I forgot. I don't want to, like, make segments. But, like, my father actually has a name for this. He calls it GOS, Gemara on Sitter. It's just, like, it's funny because, like, you're not allowed to learn in davening, like, especially during Chazaras Hashatz, but, like, they're doing it anyway.
Right, but is it, like, learning on Tisha B'Av?
No, I don't think it's
hold
like
back. Such an urge. I can't hold. I need a filter on my Gemara to filter me from learning during Chazaras Hashatz. I can't control myself.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Tag, please, tag. Can you filter my Gemara? Bishabov, I'm learning. Chazar Shashat, I'm in the bathroom, I'm learning. I need the filter. Sorry, sir, we don't.
Yeah, so okay. It's my turn now, right? Yeah, okay. So my next pick is going to be the guy who, I'm making air quotes here, helps with the guy who's doing Hagba. He's like standing there, like, this is bad radio, but like this, like with his hands up, like, oh my, it's like, it's not going to fall. Like, just calm down.
Oh my goodness. It is the most masculine.
He's holding his talus in one hand. He has his talus ready as like an oven mitt in one hand, ready to catch that cloth. He's like,
I mean, and also he's also usually the guy, like, if the kid is like taking a little too long to do Galila, like reaches on top of him, is like rolling it and is like fixing everything. It's like,
it's a speculative fish also. It's the same guy.
He's also the guy who, what's it called? He's the guy who gets thoroughly pissed off if you don't put the yad on top of it also.
You know. Yeah, he's like handing it to you, like, here, make sure to do this.
Is there like a 10 greatest plays like of like Hagba cat saves of like a guy diving in from like back climbing and catches Hagba? Yeah.
By the way, don't lie. We've all thought about it.
By the way, this guy's dream is that one day someone will drop it and he will become validated. Like, he just needs one. That's it. Just one.
But I'm telling you, like, it's the most.
He comes from Dalvin beaming. He's like, his wife's like, oh, what happened? I caught the tire.
It is the most emasculating thing on earth. Like when you're doing a Hagba and like the guy, it's not even the worst part isn't when he like lunges to help. It's when he's like hovering, like just hovering there. Right. Like, I don't trust.
I'm a small guy, right? So like people are already nervous when they see me going up if I'm doing Hagbas. So, like you see like these fat guys coming like just waiting for me to mess.
Yeah, especially the bigger guys.
I bench 50 pounds, okay?
I'm in the same boat as you, AY. Like, we're short, skinny guys, and like, people just think like, oh, he can't. It's like, it has nothing to do with it. It's like, it's just the technique. Like, if you're good at it, you can do it. Like, we know how to do it.
Chris Sale could throw a 99 mile per hour fastball. Okay, please.
So here's the thing. Like, as a guy who does Hagba, when you get the Simchas Torah Hagba, the reverse one, and everyone is crowding around. Like, look at me. There's a reason why they asked me to do this Hagba.
Yeah. Anyway,
I love also there's like a certain like yell that goes on if the thing starts falling.
If it's tilting just a little bit, it's like,
it's not that surprising. I mean, Jews love to eat, so.
It happens to be, it's the same yell if there's a fly bowl in one of those OBBL bungalow colony games. Very similar. It's like,
right behind pit stop. That's where. By the way, one of the greatest inventions that I've thought of for shul, maybe we'll get to this in a different episode. I believe that shuls should offer Hagba insurance, right? Like, it's a good fundraising ploy. Also, like, you pay a monthly fee, like it's Hagba insurance in the unlikely event that someone drops the Sefer Torah, you're good. You have
to like fast one day a month instead of like for then like. You, yeah. Like, it's your monthly payment of, like, a fast, so that, like, when it does happen, I've been paying them. I'm upside, so I've been paying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, that's a really good one. Okay, I have the last two.
I think we're up to you.
No,
that was my pick we were talking about.
I lost the conversation. Yeah.
All right, thank you. Okay, so my last two. Okay, so my third one. Okay, there's a lot of good ones here. I'm going to go with the passive aggressive, you're in my seat guy or the hoverer. And not even like saying directly you're in my seat. It's like, it's fine.
And the best part is he's usually showing up at like Shema and like he's showing up at Shema, like coming over to you and is be like, whatever. It's like, dude, I've been here since like the minion started and you're coming here now. You like it's your chance.
I love when it's a shtender seat and the guy's like, no, please sit. And then he like opens his shtender, he's like pulling out things and you're like holding your shoulder. Like,
no, please don't. Please stay here. We'll look for you to stay here.
Yeah. He pulls out his, like, Tales of Gedailim.
He, like, reaches in, gets the half-eaten bag of chips for his kid who he brought.
No. Sit.
No, please don't leave.
I once had a guy just completely take the whole stender, like, oh, please.
Yeah, those guys are the worst. Okay, and my last one, and probably the biggest jerk that everybody could relate to is, and I think this came up in a previous episode, is the guy who questions why there's no Tachman. Why is there no Tachman guy?
Yeah. That was check your letter.
Exactly. Don't question it. Just accept it. Always.
It sucks because the time you save not doing Tachnun, he just killed because he had to argue about it.
Right.
So
right.
It ruins everything. We save time now, and now your fight quotes is the 3 minutes that we save by not doing Tachnun.
If you really want to know, wait till after davening. You could go ask the guy when we're all leaving. You don't need to know right now. The bottom is, we're not saying Tachnun, okay? Nothing that you say is going to change it. We're not saying Tachnun. That's already been decided. So just deal with it afterwards.
I find the worst is when a shul gets into a whole discussion if there's Tzidkascha. Because Tzidkascha is literally the worst thing ever.
Exactly.
I think it says in the art scroll, it says in the pusuk, and we're done. Like,
yeah,
right.
100%.
Okay, so my last pick is going to be the old guy who pinches all the kids' cheeks. It's like as an adult, it's not that annoying, but as a kid, there is nothing more annoying than the old guy who comes over to you and pinches
your cheeks. Wait, hold on, Menachem. As an adult, old men have come over to you and pinched your cheeks?
No, I'm saying as an adult, it's not something that I worry about anymore, but like as a kid, that was the most annoying person in shul, bar none.
And also the stealing your nose guy. Like, I never fell for that. I was like, never like, holy, you got it. Yeah. Am I like, where is it? You got.
And by the way, he always had a very dirty handkerchief somewhere on his person.
Yes.
He was just looking for nose replacements.
For my last one, I'm going to go with nepotism guy. You know, the guy who walks into shul, walks directly over to the gabbai and goes, so my son's gonna daven musaf, okay? And invariably the kid is awful and nervous, and he does not want to be up there. But the father is my kid. He's gonna daven, okay? Yeah, I hate that guy.
I feel like this is a Passaic thing because
it's not a Passaic thing.
Really, I don't think I've seen that happen.
Well, it's because you're not a gabbai and you sit in the back of the shul.
Both of those points are very fair. Okay.
All right, AY, finish us off.
Yeah, AY, yeah, your last one.
Right, I have a couple here that I'm thinking about. First, I have the person who decides to sit in the front of the shul. Like, the guy who's makam kavua is in front of the shul.
He comes in with
his purpose. He's holding stuff in his arm, and he's just like, that's his place. He's not rich. He's nothing special. But, like, he has this complex, and I sit in the front. There's a guy that I initially doubted. And I'm like, what are you doing? What causes you in your head that you need to be right next to the RN? Like,
you're not the rug,
you're nothing.
Honestly, the only explanation I could think of is, you know the Brian Regan thing where, like, calling the middle seat? Like, he knows he's going to get the middle seat, so he might as well just, like, own it and just call it, right? So, like, the guy knows that no one's going to sit in the front, so he might as well just, like, call it. Like, okay, yeah, this is my seat. I don't know. That's the only justification.
That's really like the only, like, why else would anyone just choose to sit in the front? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Right. It's like, I know we're back, but there's middle of the shul too. Like, you know, you don't have to be a back of the shul guy. I understand that. But like, there's the whole middle and other seats. But no, like, just, but one of my other ones, like, which ties into your guy who passive aggressively asked for his seat back, is like the Makam Kavua loyalists. Like, you will never see him ever go. Like, he will come there. He will stand. That is his spot. And like, he remembered his Rebbe once telling them, Hashem doesn't answer your tefillos if you're not in your spot. And like, he keeps that, you know, like shul can be packed and there's a simcha. And like, everyone knows that, like, you have to leave his seat open. Like, oh don't sit there. Don't sit there. That's Arnold's seat. And he will be pissed.
By the way,
the whole sequel, the show is packed. People are bringing in fold-up chairs. But, like, there's one seat, like, a great spot that's just open. But, like, don't touch that.
Like, we don't want to have what happened in 09 happen again.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah, that's a good one. Anyway, you have any other honorable mentions?
Honorable mentions, let's go back here. I mean, it all, like, feeds into each other. But the guy who, like, Dobbins... You were talking about dominating loud, like, when it's the wrong spot, but even the guy who's dominating loud when it's the right spot, and the rub is one of those rubs who take a little longer, and there's another guy, like, three rows down, is like, hey, hi, my kill. And, like, you're like, wait, what? Who's... And, like, it just throws off the chaz, and it throws everybody off. And, like,
I had something similar to that, in that, like, I mean, there's two things that are kind of similar. One is the guy who, like, while the Chazen is davening, or while the Balkori is laning, he'll feel the need to just, like, lane it with him or daven it with him at certain points, and just really loud. I mean, Kaela is, like, the epitome of that, and I know that Shlomo thinks that it's fine, but I hate it because it is the epitome of this, which I don't like. But
I always had that dream of being – I always, like, not a dream, but, like, I always, like, fantasize about being that guy, but doing it at, like, random spots that, like, don't really have a tune, or, like, Tikanta Shabbos, where she's like – I just, like, at spots that, like, what are you doing?
Like,
nobody does it then.
I really
– just the whole time. Just,
I really wanted to just randomly end an aliyah while the Balkar is in the middle of finishing the aliyah with "Vayisimashal gadi b'chalei mai," and just see what happens.
Or, like, just keep it going a little long. Like, everyone's like, "Yismitha," like, everyone's like doing it, but then you just keep it going, like, the next three words.
Yeah, like, say a few more words.
Right, say a few more words too long.
But also, like, another thing that was similar to what you were saying was that the guy who, like, says the part that the chazan's supposed to say really loud before the chazan says it, so they're just confused. Like, finishes, like, Shemlokechem MS or whatever, and, like, really loudly, and then, like, people get confused, and then nobody knows what's going on.
And then
or
everybody starts.
The worst is if you do it, like, by Elenu or something, and then, like, the people are supposed to be saying Kaddish, thank you, and then, like, they start saying Kaddish, and the chazan says it, and stuff like...
Right, don't just be louder than the chazan near the chazan,
Just don't do it. Like, it's not that, like, just any time, like, there's no reason to just say random words of davening out loud ever for any reason. Like, just say everything at the same volume. It's not that except for, like,
but then every once in a while, there's, like, they get up a chazan who has, like, a really low voice, and the only person who hears him is, like, the guy next to him, and everyone's, like, just following the guy next to him going, Prisho! And, like, everyone's like, Prisho!
But,
and, like, you hear one guy say amen, and, like, another guy say amen, and you're like, I
will say, though, that an exception to this is the guy who says Yalla V'Yavo out loud, like, just those words, because that has helped me so many. There's been so many times where I would have completely forgot about Yalla V'Yavo, but because of that guy, I remembered it. So you could continue. Everyone else, just say everything the same volume the whole time. There's no reason
has to be right, because I could completely space out, like, after he did Yalla V'Yavo out loud, and I was, like, in the middle of Rulim Rushalayim, and, like, it was three things later, and I, I'm completely out.
By the way, Menachem, if you want to bring Mashiach, go, you know, next time a guy helps you out with a Yalla V'Yavo, go over to him afterwards and say thank you. You'll make his life.
Yeah.
I don't think that is something that someone should do, because he might take, like, that one thing is fine, but you don't want him to take it any further than that. And if you say thank you, I feel like he might take that as
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You go. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. We'll continue this.
All right. No problem. Enjoy. Sorry.
Okay. Check out his podcast, 10 Minutes with AY. Check him out on Twitter, AmYumer. Okay. All right, AY. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm going to run through the rest of my honorable mentions.
In order.
Guy who blocks the aisle or exit when davening Shemoneh Esrei. First, world class jerk. Guest of the Baal Simcha, who's way too comfortable as a chazan in a foreign shul. World class jerk.
Before you go further, going off of that, the guy who does songs that nobody in the shul knows and he's just, like, going, like, he doesn't care if nobody knows or not. He's just going to keep going and do his own thing. He doesn't care if he's singing by himself.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, the gabbai who gives a guest psicha. Like, I never understood the logic behind that. Like, I don't know how your aron opens. It's like telling a guest at a Shabbos table to like, oh, just go take the dishes out of the cabinet. You'll figure out which one. Like, why? I don't know. I never understood that. The Balkria with bad breath. Like, dude, Listerine. It was invented. The Shabbos Mincha belcher. Like the guy who does the really loud belches by Shabbos Mincha. It's like, okay, we get it. We all had cholent. Okay, keep it to yourself. And my last one is, this is like related to what Menachem said, but I'll get a little bit more specific. The guy who overzealously corrects the bar mitzvah boy. First class jerk.
He's the guy who's licking his chops when he sees the little hat start walking up there. I'm going to go with the Rav who insists on speaking between Mincha Ma'ariv every single day, slash the Rav who has to speak for 30 plus minutes every single Shabbos. And then my personal favorite, the Candyman, who's very, very makbid on just take one. Yeah. Like, here, I'm bringing joy to the children on conditions. One candy.
Ooh, also, this is not really like an everyday shul thing, but like we just can't talk about this without mentioning the Hataras Nedarim fifth wheel. Yeah. We just have to mention it.
Yeah. Inevitably, he cannot read a word of Hebrew. Yeah. That's a good one. I think that about wraps it up. Definitely let us know what we missed at Back of the Shul. Tweet at us, DM us. I think that's everything. Yeah? Okay. So we'll see you next time. I'm not sure when that's going to be, but we will see you next time. Take care, everybody.
There will be another episode, probably.
Probably.
Like that much we could guarantee that there definitely will probably be another.
Definitely. Episode. I'm going to give a definite maybe. Yeah. Definite maybe. Okay.
No, I would say probably. I would say probably.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.